I'm at home with my TV split screen with four games that I have parlays on. I forget to eat. I forget to drink water. I forget to go to the bathroom. And this happens a lot with problem gamblers at the casino, on the phone, at the poker table. We are so hyper-fixated on the task that the concept of time just kind of dissipates from our mind. It's giving us that instant gratification. It's giving us that instant dopamine. But because it's junk food dopamine, we have to keep doing it to get the desired effect.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the One Day at a Time podcast. Today's guest is Megan Poloquin. She is the manager of gambling treatment and prevention at the Zeff Center in Ohio. I'm going to let her dive into exactly what they do on a day-to-day basis because I don't want to butcher it. But Megan, thank you so much for joining.
Yes, thanks for having me. So I am from Zeff Center. It's a large community mental health nonprofit organization in Toledo, Ohio. Does many things from substance use to recovery housing to mental health to vocational. And one of the many things it also does is it has a gambling treatment program.
And that's where we met. I was recently in Ohio. We met before that, but we talked again about a presentation that you gave in Ohio at the very same conference on the link between ADHD and problem gambling. So that's going to be a major topic that we're going to focus on today. For those that haven't met you before, what got you into the work that you do? And like maybe what's a little bit of what you would do on a daily basis?
It's kind of a boring story of how I got into the field. I always knew I wanted to do some type of therapy and counseling. I love talking to people. I went to school to get my master's in clinical mental health counseling. But throughout my education, I didn't have hopes for being a gambling treatment counselor. I didn't even know that existed. Behavioral addictions, gambling addictions, they're often kind of glazed over in school because it's that substance use that they really want to focus on. And now being in the field for almost 7 years, I like to go back to those classes and try to guest speak and share about gambling and behavioral addictions because it's such a large part of my world today. But going to school, it was one chapter in a book that, you know, you glazed over. And so when I graduated and I got my counseling license, I decided, well, I can't work at the mall anymore. I was the manager of a store in the mall and I had a counseling license. I had to go get a counseling job. So I applied for any job online that would take my license. And one of them was gambling treatment counselor at Zeff Center. I applied for it, not knowing if it was the right fit for me, but thinking if I get an interview, I'll go, I'll get some interview practice. I don't know if I'm the right fit. I don't really have much of a gambling treatment background. They invited me for an interview and nearly offered me the job on the spot. I was a little confused because I said, you know, I don't know what I'm doing. And they said, that's fine. We will train you. We would almost prefer to have someone not know what they're doing so that we can put them through the training and get them trained up appropriately, as opposed to having to kind of retrain someone's perceptions and bias of gambling to begin with. And it'll be 7 years in September this year that I've been doing only gambling treatment. Many of my clients also have mental health and substance use diagnoses that we treat, but every client I see has a gambling disorder. That's the common denominator.
Do you feel like it's easy or difficult to express to the public that problem gambling is a thing?
I think it's easy for me to express, but it might be hard for the community to digest. I think that it's getting easier for communities to digest, especially in Ohio with sports betting now being legalized in 2023. Ohio, the community, at least in Toledo, is starting to recognize that gambling might be a little bit more risky and a little bit more dangerous than we thought. And it's not so much that it's not still societally accepted and that people aren't doing it, but more people are coming forward, I think, now than ever, saying, hey, I don't know if my son or my partner or my mom, I don't know if they're gambling responsibly anymore. It's starting to feel like it's turning into a problem. As time goes on, communities will be able to digest that gambling could be a problem a little bit easier, but it's just going to take time, unfortunately.
I see that with my own comments and probably with what we're 6 minutes in, probably a couple comments already on the YouTube video.
Sure.
People are watching. So you're in Toledo and there's a rather large university there. Do you do outreach programs with college students?
Yeah, we do. The major university in Toledo is the University of Toledo. It's where I went to school to get my bachelor's and to get my master's. I grew up in Toledo, and we recently actually did a partnership this year with University of Toledo Athletics, where we were able to secure advertising at all of the football and basketball games. And they invited us to actually have tables on the concourse at the games while they're happening. So we've had a lot of success in going to those games because the 18 to 24-year-old age range is at the highest risk. Sports bettors are at a particularly higher risk. And going to a football or basketball game, I'm automatically putting myself in a place where I can meet those people or I can meet the family members of those people. We've had a lot of really great success with doing the tables there. We actually ask people to complete a brief three-question gambling screen to win a prize. And we've done nearly 1,600 of those since August. It's been a really great way to connect with the community and also just to raise that awareness of, hey, sports betting, we're not anti-gambling. We're not going to take that stance and say you shouldn't gamble because we can't control what you do. Our stance is always very much, hey, if your gambling is becoming a problem, like this is a judgment-free zone. We are purely here to help you and to support you. If you're concerned about a family member, give us a call. We can help you too. But we're not going to tell you what to do. That's not our place. As counselors or just as community members, we're here to be the resource for you and to be available for you if anytime down the road you have questions or you need help.
And I think that neutrality puts you in a good position to be able to work with numerous different groups to accomplish that goal. And that's the value of it. Another thing that kind of popped into my head is you said you did 1,600 screenings. Are the results public, or are you not able to share yet what you found?
The results are in my Excel sheet, and I did share them at the Ohio Gambling Conference. We'll actually be presenting on this topic again at the National Conference in July. We're looking at about 1,600 surveys. Nearly 13% of those surveys are scoring positive on that brief gambling screen. If people are watching this and say, oh, 13%, that's nothing, that's actually pretty significant when you're looking at screens being done on a college campus during a college sporting event. When you're looking at Ohio statistics being that 19.8% of Ohioans are at low risk, moderate risk, or problem gambling, we're finding that 13% of the surveys we've done, while people are just trying to go enjoy a sporting event, are trending positive. Now, we can't control for duplicates or for how people are filling that out, but I still think that's an incredible percentage considering we're kind of just surprising them at the game, saying, hey, do this survey for us, get a water bottle, get a backpack. And that 13% of those surveys, I mean, they're being honest and they're answering those questions as, yes, I might be experiencing a gambling problem.
Absolutely. If you look at the national averages, depending on what number you go with, 13% could literally be seen as like seven times more than the expected number. It's not a little number, despite the fact that
Oh.
someone here the first time might think so.
And our football stadium can fit 25,000 people in it. I can't do math that quickly, but if you get your calculator out and do 13% of 25,000 people, that's a lot of people, and not a
3,000.
lot of gambling treatment counselors to help them.
I think it's a little over 3,000. My math was, I think I
I'll do
just
the
did 12%.
math.
I think it's
20.
3,250 is
Yeah,
what.
about 32. Yeah, 3,250. Yeah, you're great at math.
One thing that I wanted to make sure that we touched on throughout this conversation was the presentation that you gave recently on ADHD and the link with problem gambling. I've been told by two separate therapists over my long career of therapy that I likely have ADD and possibly ADHD. This is definitely a topic that's, relevant to me personally, and I think many people probably watching this. What is, in like broad strokes, the link between ADHD and problem gambling?
In long strokes, the link between ADHD and gambling is that folks with ADHD, I got diagnosed with ADHD last year as an adult. I'll probably bring some of my personal experience into this conversation, but neurodivergent folks like us, if you have ADHD and me too, our nervous system is interest-based. So we like to do things that we find interesting, new or novel, things that we're passionate about, things that are a challenge to us, but in like not too much of a challenge where we don't even want to bother, just a that good challenge. And we really act with a sense of urgency too. So the stereotypical ADHD, memes of forgetting that you left your laundry in the washer for 5 days, or I'm only doing laundry because I ran out of clean clothes. That's what that sense of urgency is speaking to. And when we're looking at gambling, we can see that gambling could cross off a lot of those interest-based nervous systems. It could be something we're passionate about if we feel like we love sports, and sports betting is a new way to add excitement to the game. A lot of people are very passionate about other types of gambling. People that play poker or play the slots have, they kind of have their own rituals associated with their gambling. And it is something that some people can really make a personality trait for themselves because they're really into it. They're really interested in it. Sports betting is freshly legal in Ohio. It's new, it's novel, it's something that we didn't have access to before. So we might think, oh, well, maybe I will download the app and put five in and get 200 in free bets. And then there's that challenge aspect to it that comes with gambling, this challenge of I want to outsmart the game. I want to win. I want to be the person that gets the big win from the gambling. In simple terms, right, gambling could cross off a lot of those interest-based things that our nervous system is looking at to get dopamine, to feel good, to feel motivated, and to feel focused. I would say ADHD can be that risk factor for a problem gambling, just like there's a bunch of other risk factors. If you come from a family of problem gamblers, you're at a heightened risk. If you're drinking or abusing substances, you're at a higher risk. But there's also protective factors too that we can talk about later. So I would say having ADHD is not an end-all be-all that you're going to have a gambling problem, but it certainly could raise the risk for you.
Can we talk about something real for a minute? If your gambling has started to feel less like fun and more like stress, trust me, you're not alone. Millions of us know what it's like to say, just one more bet, or feel that urge that's really difficult to explain. That's why I'm excited to tell you about Evive, a sponsor of today's video. Think of it as having a recovery companion right in your pocket, someone who actually understands what you're going through. No lectures, no pressure, just practical tools and genuine support when those challenging moments hit. Download Evive now and you'll get guaranteed free access through 2026. Not a trial or a limited version, but the complete platform, completely free. Because Evive believes that everyone deserves access to support that works for them. Download Evive today and take the first step towards changing your relationship to gambling. Evive is only available in select countries. That explanation explains why I was such a bad employee when I was working like a regular job that wasn't me talking to a camera. I was doing like data entry and it was the same form every time. And I was just so bored by it that I could never sit down and focus on it. Whereas now it's like every day I do the same thing. So I don't want to like bucket it and say it's completely different. I do the same thing. Like they're all different conversations to an extent. So it's a little bit different for me. And with gambling, I felt that way too. It's like, yeah, we're watching the same sport or we're playing the same slot machine and it's the same game. But there's just so many different variations of what can happen that I felt excited by it and drawn to it. So I think a lot of people watching, especially like the main demographic that typically watches my content, is drawn to sports betting. They can probably relate to that a lot. And someone that doesn't like sports is like, this game is the same. It always ends up like how I feel about soccer, Megan. When I watch soccer, I'm like, oh, it's always going to end 0-0. Like we know they're going to kick a ball around for 90 minutes and no one's going to score. But then people that are really into it are like, well, no, you're missing the flow of the game and the possession numbers. Like, there's all these different numbers that go along with it. Another term from your presentation that I really wanted to bring up was this idea of dopamine chasing. I can absolutely relate to what I think that means, but I want to give you the space to kind of explain it for the audience. What is dopamine chasing and how does it tie into having a gambling problem?
Dopamine is a neurotransmitter that we all need. It really controls our ability to be happy, to be motivated, to be focused, to pay attention. It's a very necessary neurotransmitter that we need. These days, there are multiple ways to access dopamine. There's the healthy, natural dopamine of, seeing your friend that you haven't seen for a long time and embracing them in a hug. There's coming home from work and seeing how happy my dogs are to see me. There's stepping outside when the sun is shining for the first time all week in Northwest Ohio. That's that healthy, natural, good dopamine. It lights us up. We also have access to junk food dopamine too, which is doom scrolling on social media, binge watching television shows, binge eating. Gambling is certain can certainly be a form of dopamine junk food. It's giving us that instant gratification. It's giving us that instant dopamine. But because it's junk food dopamine, we have to keep doing it to get the desired effect, as opposed to going for a 5 minute walk in the sun. That's going to extend our dopamine out for 30 more minutes. Doom scrolling on TikTok, I have to keep doing because if I stop, the dopamine's gone.
And, as someone who woke up this morning and spent 20 minutes scrolling on TikTok before getting in the shower, I can absolutely relate to the feeling of just like, it feels like I had junk food. It feels like I did something
Yeah.
unhealthy. But whenever I pick up my phone, I like just open the app by default.
Yeah. No, I'm a victim of it too. And dopamine chasing, right, is where we get into feeling like we have to keep scrolling or we have to keep gambling or I have to keep eating. I have to keep doing these behaviors because I'm not getting this long-term healthy dopamine. I'm getting this short-term instant gratification. And so when I stop, when I put my phone down, I'm having a bit of a reaction of, well, now what? What do I do now? And so I just want to, 5 minutes goes by and I find myself opening the app again. So dopamine chasing, as it relates to problem gambling and ADHD, folks with ADHD, our brains are just different than neurotypicals. We have a harder time either creating dopamine or catching dopamine in our brain. And so we have to go to greater lengths to feel the levels of dopamine that neurotypicals get to feel. So when we start chasing the dopamine, we often find ourselves just doing the next instant gratification thing. And on the outside, that can look like we're not doing the important things. We're not paying our bills. We're not doing the laundry. We're not going grocery shopping, we're dopamine chasing. I'm going shopping instead for things that I don't need, but at least it's more enjoyable than going to Kroger. I'm scrolling on TikTok instead of answering those work emails because answering those work emails doesn't sound fun. So we find ourselves wanting to do the dopamine chasing because our brains are already at a disadvantage. We already have either less dopamine or a harder time obtaining that dopamine. So we feel compelled to go chase it.
Putting myself in the shoes of maybe someone that could be watching this whose husband, wife, daughter, son has a gambling issue and they keep going, and the person watching this is maybe not struggling with a gambling problem. It can feel oftentimes when I'm speaking about it like I'm giving excuses as to why I was doing this. Like, oh, I got addicted to gambling, so I had to do this because it was the only thing that made me feel alive. And now looking back, when I was in it, that's exactly how I felt. But looking back, it feels kind of like a cop out. What's something that I could say to kind of better express that point or better express what's going on to that person that doesn't just make it sound like an excuse?
Problems with gambling are not a, it's not a willpower problem. Addiction is a disease of the brain. It's a physiological disease of the brain. It's not a willpower problem. ADHD is the same. I can't just will my ADHD away. We understand this with plenty of other diseases and physical ailments. We understand that if someone has diabetes, you can't just really wish really badly that it would go away. And someone would never go up to someone with diabetes and say, "Well, why don't you just try harder to not have that problem?" That's not how we approach other medical diseases. And so I really think that I don't know if there's really anything you can say to a family member or to a friend or to a loved one if they don't get it. If they don't get it, they might just not get it. And so if you're listening and you think, well, I have a problem with gambling and my family and my friends don't understand it, it's important for them to understand it, but we can't make them. all we can control is us. And so for us, the important thing is understanding that it's not a problem with me and my willpower, right? I don't have a character defect of just not wanting to be better bad enough, but I do have perhaps a medical disease of addiction, and I do need to seek treatment for that. And we can say it 50 different ways to a friend or a family member or a loved one, but if they're not ready to understand that, you're going to keep feeling like you're hitting a wall. So I think the most important thing is that you understand that for yourself, that it's not that I have a character defect of I don't want to be better, and that if I wished hard enough to stop, that I could stop. I have a medical disease, and I need to seek some treatment for that. I need to seek some help for that. And if I do, I can get better.
So at this point in the conversation, we're about 20 minutes in. To me, it feels like we've been talking for maybe 5 minutes. Time's flying because we're having a good conversation. You had mentioned another term called time blindness for someone that has ADHD and possibly someone overlapping with problem gambling. How would that be playing out, say, if I was at a casino and I was someone with those overlapping mental issues?
Yeah, so time blindness sounds a lot like how it sounds. It's being blind to the passing of time, or having a hard time conceptualizing how much time a task takes. One reason folks with ADHD really struggle with this is because we have 50 tabs open in our brain and we can't figure out where the music is coming from. When people say ADHD is a lack of attention, I would argue that folks with ADHD, we're paying attention to so many more things in our world that it looks like we're not paying attention to the right thing, right? If we're having a conversation, I'm sure right now there are 50 other things rolling on in the back of your mind as they are with mine. And so when I might say, oh, what did you say again? It's not that I wasn't paying attention. It's that I was also paying attention to 50 other things and I can't figure out where the music is coming from, right? So time blindness is when we are locked in on a task. Sometimes we're hyperfixated on it. We have that laser focus. And this happens a lot with problem gamblers at the casino, on the phone, at the poker table. We are so hyperfixated on the task that the concept of time just kind of dissipates from our mind. This is why when people sometimes come to treatment and describe 8, 12, 15-hour binges at the casino and not even realizing they had been gone for that long. That's what that time blindness is. It's usually mixed with a little bit of hyperfixation. I'm so focused on the table or on the slot machine. I'm at home with my TV split screen with four games that I have parlays on that I forget to eat. I forget to drink water. I forget to go to the bathroom. I might actually not even feel hungry or feel thirsty or feel the need to go to the bathroom because I'm so focused in on this task. And being so laser focused means the concept of time just disappears from us. And we don't realize how much time has passed, and we don't feel like that much time has passed either.
I still experience that today. If you didn't just say that about eating and drinking, I probably wouldn't have eaten breakfast after this because I know, yeah, I'm getting on two more calls following our conversation today. So it's still something I deal with. And a friend of mine who I had on here, Dave Yeager, to give his story, I think he was like the second or third podcast that we put up. He told a story about how he went to a casino. He went on a Friday, and then the following day, he perceived it as the following day, he went to get back into his car to drive home. He had lost everything, of course, and, you know, went on a giant binge, but he started driving and church music came on his car. And he was like, that's weird. Why is there, you know, church music playing on a Saturday? And it wasn't Saturday, it was Sunday. He had actually like sat there for 36 hours straight without realizing that a whole day had passed. Like, that's an exact illustration of what you're talking about. Think about how much damage is being done when someone's in that state of mind and they're playing games that they're not supposed to win. It's just an incredible situation.
And we're seeing this happen on all forms of gambling, and not just with gambling. I mean, anything that we are passionate, interested about, or we see as that challenge, We have the ability to lock in and have hyper focus. A bigger trend with gambling, especially with the younger folks, is watching streams of gambling and watching people gamble online. And people will do the same thing with that. They will stay laser focused on that stream for as long as they possibly can, for as long as the stream is on. And they'll forget to eat. They'll forget to drink. They won't leave their couch. They'll just lay there or they'll lay in bed all night watching the stream. And that's when things start to get a little risky for anybody, whether you have a gambling problem, whether you have ADHD. When you're neglecting your basic needs, that's definitely a red flag that something unhealthy is going on. There's the functional freeze, right? I know I need to go upstairs and go to bed, but I have Netflix on. So I'm getting something from staying here. I know I need to do the adult thing and go to bed. But that's not creating any dopamine response in my mind. I have dopamine response right now. I have Netflix on. So there's also the concept of like pathological demand avoidance or PDA. And it's whenever we feel like we have a demand to do something, we don't want to do it anymore. And this can come into play with problem gambling too. We might know internally, I have a gambling problem. I need to stop. I need to do something about this. We might think about it all day and come home to our partner or to our parents, and they say, you need to get help for your gambling problem. And you think, well, damn it, I know, but now that you're telling me to do it, I don't want to do it anymore.
Struggling with an addiction can make you feel like you're all alone. But you don't have to do this by yourself. At Bright Choice Recovery, a family-owned and operated treatment center in New Jersey, we're here for you, and we are dedicated to helping you break free from addiction and reclaim your life. Whether you're struggling with substances or a gambling addiction, this is the spot for you. With personalized care, real support, and a team that truly understands, we're here to walk with you on this journey to recovery, because recovery is possible, and it all starts with the right choice. Check us out today, because your future is worth fighting for. I thought it was just my personality. Maybe it's my brain. I don't know. But like, I can remember, for example, when I was working at that job, I had actually put in my 2 weeks. This is gonna somehow come back at me, but whatever. I put in my 2 weeks to leave, and I did. But during that 2 week period, they wanted me to do all this work, basically do above and beyond to make sure that the next person coming in was in a better position. And I was like, I was gonna make sure that I didn't screw over the next person, but now that you told me to do it. Hell no. I turned it off. And for like 2 weeks, I sat there and did nothing every day. Super.
Because that robbed the dopamine from you. When your manager said, "Rob, you need to make sure that the next person that comes in is trained up since you're leaving." Well, that took the dope. That just swiped the dopamine all away because now it's an obligation and it doesn't feel like it was your choice. You were getting excited to train the new guy. Until someone said, "Well, you better do it." It's like, "Well, I was gonna, but now it's not, doesn't seem as fun anymore."
With the insane amount of ads that we're seeing for gambling, for sports books, for casinos, how does that impact someone who does have ADHD? Does it impact you more as a consumer to want to go out and gamble? Or is it kind of just like the same across the board?
I don't have the clinical research to answer that question, but I can give you my clinical opinion, which would be that it probably does impact us folks with ADHD a little bit more because it is giving us on-demand opportunities for dopamine chasing that we're not necessarily seeking out ourselves. I love hockey. I love the Red Wings. I'm always watching the Red Wings games. They're in my calendar, so I know that I can look forward to them. But I can't watch a hockey game without being flooded and inundated with sports betting advertisements, or sports betting being talked about in the broadcast itself. With those ads, right? I'm not seeking them out. I just want to watch the hockey game. I have a brain with ADHD. So if my brain has had a particularly bad day and I'm just trying to watch a hockey game and I'm flooded with 50 advertisements in the first period alone, my brain is going to, the needle might move to the point where I do decide to engage in that dopamine chasing. It's like seeing an advertisement for, Amazon's top picks. If you see it enough times, you might just click on the link and order it because, well, it just keeps showing up. So I think everyone is at risk for that, But again, there's a higher risk for folks with ADHD because we might engage in that dopamine chasing where it's like, fine, if you're going to show me this ad enough times, I might just try it. I might just do it.
One of the reasons why I asked that question is because I hear a little bit more often than you might expect that when people see these commercials, they view them as a challenge. They view them either as, let me use this promotion to game the system and beat the casino, or the language of the commercial itself kind of just says, like, I can be a winner. I'm going to take that on as a challenge, like a truth. And that's something that impacted me. I remember doing a lot of promotion hopping based on what I would see on commercials, pop-up ads. And I would be the person that would go and actually make the deposit to get that $200 back. It was just, a matter of time until I gave it back to them, of course. But I really wanted to know, like, do you think it kind of leads people to take on challenges that aren't even there?
Yeah, that's actually a great point that I hadn't thought of, but I 100% agree with you. The interest-based system of seeking out that challenge. And I think we see that in sports betting, we see that in free play, we see that in all types of gambling, advertising, and marketing. And absolutely, I want to be the special one. I want to be the one that beats the system and that screws over the sports betting app or the casino or the poker table. I'm going to be the one that beats this challenge. And yeah, absolutely. That alone can light us up to give it a try.
We've covered kind of what's going on in the brain of someone who has ADHD and is struggling with gambling. But what can we do about it? Is the treatment approach the same for someone in this situation as it is for someone who doesn't have ADHD symptoms?
I think the treatment considerations should be a little bit different because folks with ADHD, the way our brain operates is different. And so applying strategies in a neurotypical way is not going to feel as successful or feel as impactful to someone with ADHD. I think that if you have an issue with gambling, if you have ADHD and you're going to seek therapy, it's important to disclose both of those things because a counselor will be able to better treat you as the whole person if they know everything that's going on. We can use the acronym PINCH to treat ADHD and problem gambling. What are you passionate about? What are you interested in? What's something new or novel or a challenge? Or how do we create a sense of urgency for you? Leaning in to the neurodivergent brain instead of trying to get it to accommodate to the neurotypical way of life, leaning in, you're going to be far more successful. And again, you're going to help the client smash that stigma that there's nothing wrong with your brain if you have ADHD. It's just different. And you can try as hard as you want to change it, or you can lean into it and understand that this is the brain you've got. And if you try to understand your brain and learn the way you think and the way you see the world, you can actually be a lot more successful than you think. It's not about changing it at all. It's about learning it, studying it, and understanding it so that you can use your brain as a strength and not as a weakness.
Something that you said really just clicked with me is you gave me a new way of kind of expressing this. When I first stopped gambling, it was February 8th of 2022, and it went from February 8th to November 12th without any gambling. I had a period of sobriety. And the reason was I was just like going to meetings every week. I was really trying not to gamble. But the only tangible metric of success that I had was days since my last bet. I wasn't happy with my job. It was stale. It was repetitive. I was a bartender as well, which is the most repetitive job in the world if you work at a restaurant. Basically, just a line cook. This lack of novelty was what was causing me to feel bad for myself. I was feeling bored. I was feeling like I had lost the one thing that gave me that sense of novelty. And so, what I always say is find alternative things to do with your time. But I think a better way of expressing it is find novelty in your life. Because if you do the same thing every day, you're going to get bored of it. And people who have a gambling problem that get bored, what do? Gamble. And so thank you for that, because that's the first time I've heard novelty as the explanation instead of just keeping busy.
And it doesn't have to be something that you know if you like. Sometimes the idea of doing something new is enough to light up that dopamine response of I'm just doing something new for the sake of doing something new. And if I don't like it, I never have to do it again. But when we stop gambling, we are creating a void in our mind of where is the dopamine going to come from now? Because I've created such a relationship with my brain and my gambling that my brain is associating where it gets its dopamine, and it's from the gambling. When I have created a gambling problem for myself, I'm not doing anything else to get that dopamine other than gambling. When I stop gambling, that's all gone, and your brain is going to go through somewhat of a psychological withdrawal there of, well, what are you doing to me? Why are you making me miserable? Let's go do the thing that makes us feel good. Now, you know that you want to stop and that you want to change and you don't want to gamble anymore. And it's going to take time for your brain to follow suit. And that's why people experience what I would call that psychological withdrawal, where everything seems boring and everything seems gray. The things I once enjoyed sound miserable to me because all I want to do is gamble. Nothing else feels like it will light me up. You will feel that way for a little while. It's that psychological withdrawal, but you will not feel that way forever. And one way to kind of jumpstart feeling a little bit better is trying to engage in things you once enjoyed. But also, if you have ADHD, lean into the novelty. Do something new and different and unexpected, because that might light your mind up a little bit more than, well, I don't want to play the guitar like I used to. I know that's not going to be as fun as gambling. Well, you don't know if going to play pickleball is going to be fun if you've never done it before. So try that.
Megan, thanks so much for being here and for sharing a bit about your research, your background, and what you do on a daily basis. To anyone in the audience that's wanting to hear a story of someone in recovery from a gambling addiction, check out this video. Let's keep getting better together, one day at a time.